What it do on deck? Cause it's your man Animal Brown checking in. Our sponsor for this episode is beardorganics.com. They are an all-natural beard oil formula. I mean, it was made from the earth, Craig. It was put here for me and you. They got two flavors, coconut lime and my personal favorite, sweet almond. I got it in my beard right now. I smell amazing. And they have a special offer for our listeners. You get 10% off your first order by simply using the promo code ONDECK. That easy. Promo code ONDECK. Get 10% off your first order. It's already affordable. The extra 10% is just icing on the cake. So whether your beard game is A1 since day one like me, or you got the struggle beard like Spike Lee, Beard Organics will keep your joint moisturized and on shine. One more time. BeardOrganics.com. Promo code on deck. Support the real. The business is,
it's another week in the books with the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lee.
Man, how about your boy Animal Brown? Find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snap, Animal_Brown. Real niggas got underscores in their
name. Nobody use underscores, especially real niggas. I am Spike Lee on all social media if you're looking for me. What's crack-a-lacking, man? What you had shaking this weekend?
Man, it was slow motion Billy Ocean for most of the weekend, but I did get to hit up Detroit one time for the D.
How was Detroit?
Detroit was interesting. No, I'm going to go back, but it looked crazy up there. I'm going to be honest. I only got to see from the airport to the hotel and then to the game. Okay. So I can't judge the whole city.
Gotcha.
But
gotcha.
I counted about 76 trap houses, though, between those two trips.
76 confirmed trap houses from the airport to the game?
Yes.
Or the hotel?
Both. Okay. Combined.
Gotcha.
I counted.
I'm talking about one trip.
Houses with no roof. Houses
ain't
boarded.
Got no roof.
Crib ain't got no roof. like it was.
Were the cribs at the red light?
No.
Ba-doom-ting.
I remember there was
a lot of people hated it when fucking with that Ross, but go ahead.
What wasn't the cribs going for the super low?
500, I believe.
I didn't believe that at first. After I've been through the city, I believe it.
Didn't your boy Dan Gilbert go like buy half of Detroit already?
I could have bought half of Detroit yesterday. No lie.
You could have bought half of Detroit.
Yeah, easy.
You hit at the casino?
You didn't have to. You can hit off the scratch off. Hit a little bullshit scratch off. You can cop about six houses.
Shout out to Detroit. I am Spike Lee. I love y'all.
I fuck with the D. I was there for the Pistons game. I'll be back again in October for the game opener. So I'm fucking with y'all.
They getting a new stadium.
Yeah, they got
the
new
stadium. You said the city looked like that, but they getting a new stadium.
They're getting a brand new stadium, and the city look like
wow.
Iraq.
That's funny.
And they have four sports teams. I don't understand. Somebody help me understand.
That's another episode for another show.
Absolutely.
But
speaking of sports
and other shows, we do have FSP. That's Full Sport Press Podcast. J-Hove, Coach Locke, How Weezy on the boards. They doing their thing over there. New episode alert. What was it?
This was the NBA regular season award show. Every Monday, you can check them out, man. Get your sports fix.
I haven't listened yet, so I don't know who they picked for MVP over there.
Should have been Russell Westbrook. I haven't listened yet either.
Okay, you got Russell. That's who you're going with, Russell?
No, that's who the world needs to go with.
Based off the triple-double?
Based off the amazing season he just had.
That's cool. I definitely believe that. Like I don't have any argument against Russell Westbrook being the MVP.
I have a feeling J-Hope hated on there. Again, I haven't listened yet.
Like how?
He's just been hating lately. He's been in the zone.
Amazing.
He been in a hating zone lately. I don't get it.
Hating zone is funny. Hating zone. That nigga in the hate zone.
Right, in a sunken place.
The hating place. I was going to say the same shit. The hating place.
Nigga
over there stirring tea. They stir Kool-Aid in the hating place. Shake Gatorades.
Stirring Ovaltine.
Shake Ovaltine. Also, speaking of other shows, we have the Ladies Room podcast with Anne-Marie and Rizzo over there doing that thing. They still got the whole episode up.
Absolutely, man. But they got their third anniversary joint coming soon.
Happy third anniversary, guys.
Absolutely. 3 years flew by. God damn. So be on the lookout for that.
Been a long time coming.
Absolutely, man. Also, Fresh for Dummies podcast, me and the homie J Hove. Yep. Coming soon.
Coming soon.
Yep. It's the end of that. Coming all right.
soon. All right. Let's go.
Now big dog topic, man, inspired by a question out of the rap chat. Go join that group on Facebook if you haven't already.
You have to go join the rap chat on Facebook.
T.I. made some comments about him creating trap music, and the comments just went up in flames. So we felt it was only right that we have a main topic about that, breaking down the history of trap.
It has to be a discussion.
Crowning the real king
of trap music.
Absolutely. Okay. But first things first, you know how we do. We like to go through all the hot topics of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of trap music, T.I.
right back at it. It's the king.
T.I. was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame where they inducted Tupac, first solo rapper to be inducted into the Rap Hall of Fame. And, of course, he like YG, put on Tupac outfits for their, you know, rendition of his songs. He did Keep Your Head Up. He had on the black like YG corset that Pac had on in the New York Times interview from 96.
Corset.
Is that what that is?
I don't know.
A girdle? I don't know what it is.
It was a waist trainer.
Okay, maybe it was a waist trainer, but the internets went ham when they had a field day, and T.I. responded on IG. Let me give you his response real quick.
What Tip say?
Guess you just had to go there. Y'all young, forever commenting, over-opinionated motherfuckers got shit to say always. When the biggest shit went left because a motherfucker from y'all generation forgot the words, y'all had a fucking fit.
Oh my God.
Now some real niggas with real love in their heart get up and dedicate themselves to honor the legacy of a true American hip hop and rock and roll legend that will make him and his family proud, and it's some negative shit that has to be said. Now my question to you is, who's more in the wrong? The people for going in on T.I. or for T.I. for taking it that way?
I'm gonna go with C.
What's that, both?
T.I. stylist. Like, there are other fits just as iconic that you could have put on, that people would have been like, oh, okay, emulating Tupac. Don't put on, like, Tip my boy too. Like, people know if you listen to the show, I'm championing the king of the South. That's my guy.
For sure.
With that being said, don't put on a waist trainer and expect people to like, nah, you gonna get these jokes. People problem nowadays is they see these jokes start flying. Like, you gonna get these jokes, dude.
Regardless.
Especially if you put on a waist trainer. Like, he could have came out there in a suit with the little derby brim, had the Pac hat on, and with the song with him and Snoop.
Absolutely.
And motherfuckers would have hated on that. It would have been oversized. They would have said he had the Steve Harvey suit on. He could have came out there with no shirt on. Motherfuckers been like, look how skinny Tip is. He could have came out there in a Versace. They would have been like, what are you doing? That was big shit.
Even though
Pac used to rock it. So it was a lose-lose. So I feel like that he shouldn't even respond to these people, man. Haters going to hate T.I. to know that he done been through this. He done came up through it. That's why he the king of the South. So don't even respond to this. What he got to be responding to is motherfuckers calling him out about saying that he's leaving his wife to make sure that his career and he's good to take care of his family.
Yeah.
He'll be getting a lot of flack for that.
Yeah, he's going to get a lot of flack, period, when you're somebody of T.I. stature.
Oh, you going to get to that later?
We're going to get to that in a second. Back to this Pac shit real quick, though. YG came dressed in a Versace. Nobody said anything.
They didn't say nothing?
Nah, they let him cook. There are several iconic outfits that he could have worn, but this one is going to get the most attention, and this one is going to raise the most eyebrows. Mm-hmm. That's why you do it. Now, what T.I. needs to understand is this is the internet age, and this is the meme age. And not only are the young generation and the millennials coming at you, motherfuckers your age are coming at you looking at you crazy as well. You've got to be able to run with it. You've got to be able to take a joke, find some of the funniest memes, repost them shits, and quit letting that shit get to you, dude.
It's T.I. though.
Stop.
Man's complex, man.
I understand that, but he got to let that shit go. You've been in the spotlight too long, dude. You can take a little bit of heat. It's just fun and games. T.I. don't joke on nobody? I've never really watched a show like that. Does he not joke on? Is he serious the whole show?
That's why I say, like, you're going to get these jokes. He know that, though. T.I. ought to know that.
He just ranted forever. But that lessens the impact of your real rants. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
That's a great point that you hit on. Like, I don't feel like that you should be responding to this, T.I., because you do respond to bigger social issues, and people have to be able to take you serious
right.
when you're doing so. So I don't need you responding to the trolls. Let the internet handle that. Like, this motherfucker is going to defend you, and this motherfucker is going to joke on you. You didn't see the motherfuckers was probably defending the fit.
Exactly.
Like, saying the same thing, essentially, that he was saying.
Right.
But with all of that being said, like we just said, you're going to get these jokes, dude. We get them, everybody to put themselves out there to do whatever it is they love to do and put themselves in the public. How you going to get it, dude?
You got
to
be able to laugh at yourself, yeah, you man. You can't take that yourself, shit too dog. Serious, dude, because then people are going to – you're going to get brushed off and your rants are going to get old and played out like my boy Ye. He ran it one too many times, so now one you don't take them many. Seriously.
One. Just one?
Yeah, just one too many. Mm. When he said he voted for Donald – he would have voted for Donald Trump, that was the rant. That ended it right there.
It did.
So that's what I'm saying. Up until that point, he still had people's –
go ahead.
He still had people's attention. It's just that you need to be aware that when you're given this time and opportunity that people are listening, and if you keep spewing that bullshit, or if you hating, or if you're complaining about some jokes, people are going to stop caring what you say, and then the day you say some real shit, nobody will be listening. It's on the boy who cried wolf type shit.
100%.
Just stop. Yes. Now, the shit he said about his marriage in the Angie Martinez interview.
Mm-hmm. I feel like she roped him into that too, though.
Nah.
You don't feel like. I feel like there was something that he went up there, like he wanted to get that out there, let that be known, or do you feel like the Angie roped him into that? Because I feel like she roped him into that.
I feel like that's something he should know going into speaking with Angie Martinez.
Okay, she a good interviewer. She cold.
She's okay. Nah, she hasn't.
Don't do her.
She's
like
okay.
That and say she okay.
She's okay.
Name somebody better than her.
She did a good job.
Name somebody that's better than her doing it dolo like that. That ain't got a team.
Oh, doing it dolo with
yeah,
no team.
That's what I'm saying. Like
Sway could do it with no team. He didn't really got no team.
But
like
he
that.
Ain't getting that out of T.I. is what I'm saying.
No, because he's not a woman. Okay. Because we don't good. Gossip. We don't
Fantastic.
Care about that shit.
Great point.
Women care about that. And that's why she can pull that out. And Sway don't give a shit. Mm. I don't want to hear about this nigga Sep. I don't care. I might give a fuck, dude. Let's talk about some shit I actually care about. That's why. But that's good to have different personalities. That's why you have a Yee on a Breakfast Club, because it's balance. She's going to speak for the women that want to, that have shit to say and have concerns.
They may care about T.I. and Tiny.
Exactly.
Yeah. But Angie able to touch all bases. That's why I say she's so cold. But yeah. For the people that don't know, y'all check out that interview with Angie Martinez and T.I. as to where he was addressing his marriage.
Absolutely. And that's also where he spoke about the trap music shit, which we'll be referencing later on.
Whoa.
Now, let's keep it Pac for a second. Mm. We're going to take it back up north. Troy Ave, ladies and gentlemen, a.k.a. New Pac.
Yo, boy.
He went what? On a a.k.a. New Pac. Why am I calling him that? It's because
Why are you calling him?
He went on The Breakfast Club for his first, like, interview post-trial and all that shit. Mm-hmm. Came up to The Breakfast Club, bulletproof vest and all, sat down for an hour and 36 minutes, and told his side of the story in regards to the shooting or what he could talk about. And in both shootings. And he said a lot of shit, compared himself to Pac, continuously called himself a real nigga, et cetera, et cetera. Any thoughts of this Troy Ave interview? Did it make you – are you team Troy Ave now? Or are you still not fucking with him? Where are you standing?
I honestly couldn't make it through the whole thing. I got out of there right when he was like, I'm like Pac. I was out of there. I'm gone. I was all the way gone. Now, I had problems with things that he said prior to that, but I just chalked it up to being Troy Ave. I feel like he too into himself, and I know we done said this before, probably we beating a dead horse 1,000 different ways. Troy Ave to me don't have the correct sense of awareness of everything around him that's going on, I see. And that's how these things have happened to him. Like, right. You not a new motherfucker on earth to realize if you driving through the hood in a red Maserati that you a target.
Right.
Like, you don't got to realize that. You say, oh, I'm Troy Ave. I wasn't thinking of that. Like, that's not realistic, dog. Because if you from where you say you from and you from there, like, you know how niggas from there look. So the second you buy that Maserati, that's in your head. It ain't that I'm real, I'm from here, I wasn't thinking that way. Like, it don't go that way because you know how niggas from there think. It ain't how you thinking. It's how motherfuckers around you thinking. You got to take all of that into account when you somebody who claim who is what they say, what he say he is, like running his own business and the independent thing like that. And you got to think all these factors because you are essentially the CEO of your own company when you rapping independently.
So I sat through the whole interview.
That's amazing.
Not really, because yeah, after about
great tolerance for pain.
After about 20 minutes in, okay, we mentioned the sunken place. Remember in Get Out when he sat down to talk to his mom, to Legale mama, right, and she was stirring the thing, and he wanted to get up. He didn't really want to talk about what she was talking about, but he was like, damn, I really can't move. I'm stuck. That's exactly how I was listening to this shit, dude. I really wanted to get up and stop it.
I had to get out of there.
But it was the most amazing shit I've heard all year coming from one person.
Really?
Yes, dude. Like, the fact that he sees himself and thinks about himself in this manner, he seems lost on the fact of why people don't fuck with him. And that in this, and I've had a couple of people go, nah, the interview was real. He said some real shit, man. Like, what's the problem?
No, he did say some real stuff.
He always says some real
and
shit.
And I'm not even doubting the fact that Troy have a real nigga, but go ahead.
The problem is that sprinkled in between the real shit that he says is three or four cornball, clownish type shit that he also says sandwiched in between the real shit. Mm-hmm. So the clown shit outnumbers the real shit. I don't need to know that you're in the Maserati with the sport edition, bro. That, like, you just had to say that? What did Drake say on this More Life, dude? You Instagramming with the garbage rollies. Oh, you did it for motivation, but you just had to show me?
Yeah.
That's the shit that I'm talking about, dude. Mm-hmm. Nobody gets specific about the fucking sport package on your car. What does that have to do with you about to get murked, dude?
Well, I mean, he was explaining that if you had that package and you hit the brake with it or whatever and try to start a car, or whatever the fuck he said,
see what I'm saying?
The engine blows up, bro. And the pop from the engine that made it blow up is what made dude duck, and that's why he didn't get killed, allegedly,
bruh.
Allegedly,
you right? Rambo. But why are you telling me this story, dude? But
shout out to Charlamagne though, because he asked a perfect question,
and they did continuously. By the way,
why didn't you just drive off?
Thank you.
I got time to figure out, oh, if I hit the brake and the clutch at the same time because it's a sport edition, I know the engine going to pop, and I'm assuming that this nigga going to react this way. So in addition to him reacting this way, what I'm going to have time to do it? Nah,
put it in drive, my nigga.
You got a gun in your face, it don't happen like it, dog. Like he was explaining, like, you don't understand because it's a gun in your face. Like, you're not going through all them steps to try to fool a nigga that you got a motherfucking pistol by making a popping sound.
No.
You trying to get up out of there, dude.
Thank you. You hit the sport button on accident, reaching for the fucking drive.
You trying to hit that push
start. Stop trying to make it seem like you MacGyver, dog. Get the fuck out of here,
but
dude.
That's why people don't fuck with him, because he's trying to make it seem like I'm so advanced from another nigga that's like me. Nah, you just got an opportunity and you capitalize off it. Congratulations.
That's cool.
Congratulations. I feel like he tried to get out of his lane too much. Like, you want to be looked at like a, dare I say it, like one of the big dogs. Like, you want to be looked at like a Hove or a big dog that come from Brooklyn and this and that, and you made it and you're independent. You like, but you're not that.
How many times did he say he was real?
Everybody
knows that if you have to say that, if somebody has to keep telling you that they're real,
or you can't impress me by saying I spent $1 million when I got out,
bro.
It's all over Instagram. You can see it. If I seen it, and if it was impressive, you ain't got to mention it, nigga.
That's my point.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you felt like that shit really impressed niggas, then you wouldn't have to implement, like, you wouldn't have to emphasize it, dog.
You don't have to spell it out,
bro. Exactly. Like, he was emphasizing minor things, and I feel like he could have made a major impact on his legacy, a major impact on how he's viewed right now. If he had just kept it real,
he can't do
that. He was still promoing, still trying to do this. You showing up with the bulletproof vest, my nigga. If you really fear for your life, that bulletproof vest ain't gonna stop nobody. Not from doing Troy Alvin.
Right.
That just ain't gonna stop nobody. Hire you some security. Real niggas don't got security.
That's my point.
Is that how you feel? So he gonna rock the vest and he got a strap? That's what we doing?
This remind me of Ross early on, always in character. And that was Ross's problem. Now, he didn't even go to these lengths.
But I think Troy L's problem is he live his character. His perception is off.
Yeah, my point. So now he's in too deep. Now he has to wear the bulletproof vest. He has to wear the Donald Trump whip weight again hats and with the bullet holes in the hat. Bruh.
How many times, what Troy L come in the game with? How many times?
Man, what is a Rollie and a
550, the big boy.
Like, come on, man.
What do we care, though?
Now, how many times have you said that, though?
Every interview. I came in the game. Like,
that's cool.
I promise to God, if it's not like I'm hating, and take it and run with it. But all I'm saying is just like Trey Ev don't make bad music.
Nah, not at all.
You know what I'm saying? He really don't come off. He don't seem like a bad dude 80% of the time.
60.
But the problem is his perception is off. And for people who pay attention to shit like that and choose their music that way and choose who they want to follow
they
and fuck with that
him.
Way, they can't fuck with him. That's why he only had 4,000 on his last thing.
Right.
And then you're going to compare yourself to Pac. Oh now niggas that fuck with music can't even fuck with you because you like you don't do that. And I got to get on my boy Boosie for it too.
Mm.
Like, you're not Boo Pac. It don't work that way, dude.
Yeah, Boosie gonna name his new project
Boo
Pop.
Like, don't do it. Like, just stay away from. Like, motherfuckers ought to respect it enough to know to stay away from it, dude.
See, here's
just
the
don't
thing.
Do that.
Here's the thing, I ain't done with this Trey Ave shit because this was getting on my nerves all week. I couldn't wait to talk about this shit. He dropped this shit the day after we recorded last week because he knew we was gonna go in, dude. I had somebody. So for the people that are like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Animal Brown, Spike Lee, y'all hate Trav. So your preconceived notions of him are going to be set in stone and nothing he can say is going to change your mind. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I had my homegirl go listen to it. Mm-hmm. I said, check this out. Tell me what you think. No lie. She was not familiar with Trav. She's not familiar with Tax. She's not familiar with Bricks in My Backpack Volume 1.
Did she know anything about the shooting?
No.
Okay.
She knew nothing about the shit. Nothing other than a Baller Alert scroll post from like, 10 months ago.
Other than her doing some type of research.
No, just regular, I'm on IG scrolling.
Okay.
She listened to the entire hour and 36 minutes, which, by the way, only about 5 or 6 people in rap deserve an hour and 36 minutes on Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is not Trav, but that's a whole other story. I said, what did you think? She said, it's our exact words. I don't really understand his deal. He was saying the stuff that he was saying, but then when I look at him, I just don't believe him. Like, it just doesn't, I can't put 2 and 2 together. I really don't understand his angle. I don't get his deal. He seemed lost in himself.
You know why?
Because all of that was 1,000% accurate.
Right. She right. He too anxious to tell you about himself.
Facts.
Like, niggas did actually
do it. Live it?
Yeah, right. So, like, look at Kodak Black when he went up there. I'm not giving him any points for doing so, but I'm just saying, look at his demeanor. Or look at Gucci Man his first time he was up there.
Chief Keef.
Look at Chief Keef when he was up there. Look at niggas who, like, really, like, I'm not putting this on the table to tell you all about it, dog, because that ain't why I did it.
Jeezy.
I did it to get here. Well, now that I'm here, it ain't nothing I need to elaborate on further.
Exactly.
And Troy, I feel like he got to elaborate further in order for us to accept him as a great or something. And that's just not the case.
Yeah.
Somebody need to sit him down, talk to him, let him know, like, this ain't the move, this ain't the way. He need to talk to Pac. Pac would have told him it was good. If he need to go listen to some Pac before he call himself New Pac or Tupac or whatever motherfuckers is doing. And I know Boosie done listened to plenty of Pac, and he need to reevaluate himself too. Niggas can't call themselves nothing Pac. It's no nothing Pac. Don't do it.
One last thing. The homie Mison went in on him and it went viral. And so they had him on the Breakfast Club today. He went in, called him a bozo, and he explained his issues with Troy Ave in depth and what the problem was. And if y'all get a chance, Mison used to be signed to Violator. He was getting ready to blow up on Rough Riders back in the day. He got locked up for robbery.
Oh, okay.
And then he did like 10 years. And so he's coming back out, kind of changed his life. He was about that life for real, for real.
Do we got a legit beef with Trey?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. He just he says
just don't fuck with him.
No. He just thought that his words were, I know real dudes that have really come up from situations like that. I'm one of them real dudes, and that's not how we talk.
Yeah.
That's just not how we
that's
talk.
Just, like,
we
real,
don't step out and put all that
say.
Shit. That's my point.
And nigga said that he was all going back and forth with his mom, like asking him why he buried in North Carolina. That's not your
Stop,
place to say bro. That,
dog. I know real nigga finna do no shit like
this
that,
said,
man.
He also said that he never met the nigga mom. So if I never met the nigga moms, and we talking about Banger, his security, or his
rest
boy
in peace,
or whoever Banger. It was, rest in peace.
Yep.
He was like he was going back and forth. Well, not even back and forth, but he was questioning her decision on where her son
yeah.
was going to be buried. Nigga said he loved Popeyes. He should have been buried right across the street from them.
Yeah, from the Popeyes. He was dead serious when he said that too. The homie Bangle's brother had an interview too. I thought was very interesting. And he
did they call out Troy L?
Absolutely.
What'd he say?
Pretty much the same stuff that Mison said.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all have a chance, that Mison interview is about 40 minutes. I swear to you, it's nothing but gems. He is keeping it. And it's not all about Troy Ave. Like, he didn't go up there just to strictly talk about his Troy Ave comments either. That's another, because that would have been whack.
To be honest, I had no idea who my son was.
I remember
that's
him from Rough Riders.
Interview. I had no idea who he was.
My son, lefty, gun up in the right palm.
That's his best verse ever, too.
He murdered that Rough Riders Volume 1.
That's all I've heard, actually.
But just check out, just check that interview out. That, listen to him and his demeanor and how he talk, and then compare that to Trav's demeanor and how he talk, and you'll see the difference in why people don't like Trav. I hope he get his shit together, though, real talk. All right, moving on, man. That was enough of Trav talk. Mm-hmm. Kendrick Lamar. Let's talk about somebody else who took an L.
What?
Kendrick Lamar told everybody to get ready, have your shit together by April 7th.
That's all he said.
He said that on a Heart Part 4.
That means you got a week.
April 7th came and went with no project, no song, no nothing.
Nobody said a project was coming out.
No squat. Now, the title of his project, which has now been revealed to be Damn, has a new date, which is April 14th, this Friday. Yep. Did Kendrick lose any steam whatsoever by flaking on his April 7th promise?
Hell no. Yes. And if he did, he got plenty of motherfucking smoke to replace that steam that y'all want. I'm telling you, it's going to be free smoke, as your boy Aubrey says.
I see you, boy.
On the 14th. It's free smoke coming. And anybody that want to step in front of this train that's blowing this free smoke is welcome to do so. Cornrow Kenny, K-Dot is motherfucking here. He finna drop bombs on niggas. And like, somebody is essentially, Big Sean, about to get killed. Sean, like, I feel like it's gonna be at least two or three songs that he direct, well, not even two or three songs, just some jazz, but he directly gonna let you know that he ain't fucking with Big Sean and all that bullshit that he was saying. And I feel like somebody else gonna catch him straight from his shotgun bullet too.
Okay, you could put your pom-poms down for just a second.
Ain't no pom-poms. These are facts. Best rapper alive.
To answer the question, did he lose any momentum? It was a little disappointing waking up Friday and not having that on the Apple Music, because I'm interested to hear what it sound like.
Were you disappointed when More Life didn't come out 19 times it was delayed? How disappointed were you then?
Drake didn't promise that to drop on any day.
How disappointed were you when Ross delayed all 9 of his albums?
Ross didn't promise that either.
How disappointed were you when you were waiting on Jeezy next project and it didn't come out?
There was no promises. On, man. None of those artists you named dropped a record allegedly dissing two of the biggest niggas in rap and telling people to have their shit together by X date. None of them did that.
As a No Limit fan, how disappointed are you right now that you've never seen that Down South Hustlers 2? Come on, man.
It's still coming soon.
Yeah, exactly.
But I will say this, though. All will be forgotten if this shit comes out and doesn't sound like To Pimp a Butterfly. I'll forget all this. We'll forget the song, the
which,
date.
Which is a classic.
I'll way. Forget To Pimp a Butterfly if you drop this shit and it's hidden.
One, you can never forget To Pimp a Butterfly because shit. It's archived.
I forgot it already.
Smithsonian Museum archived.
To Pimp a Consumer.
Anyway, with that being said, K-Dot coming for you. K-Dot's coming for you Friday.
I'm interested to hear what it sounds like.
I mean, do you think he's going to take Big Sean out?
No.
You don't think so? You don't think
Big Sean is too humble to be taken out. It would look like bullying at a certain point. He can't go too hard on Big Sean. What? Big Sean messages positivity. Big Sean is not throwing shots at anybody.
Don't shoot me with this
It's
shit.
The same shit like a Khaled.
Give me this shit.
Just like a Khaled.
Give me this shit, man. What
his message is like uplifting.
Did you just not see his wife go off? When people get tired of that shit.
That shit was hilarious.
People don't want to hear that shit all the time. Your positive messages, dude.
Khaled's wife going off on Snap was funny as shit. Fuck. Woo.
And his reaction was funny. That nigga never goes out of character.
Yeah, that's wild. He like Will Ferrell.
That's amazing. It's a special piece of priceless, like priceless ass motherfucking personality to be like that, dude.
Yeah.
That nigga said, what was he asking her to tell him? Tell me what?
You love me or something?
Like, tell me I'm successful or something? Tell me that I try hard?
That shit was fun in the motherfucker.
Nigga crazy. With that being said, though, it's not going to happen. There's no too humble whatever. It's not going to happen that your boy's going to avoid this wrath.
What
is it saying? Big Sean can rap and everything, but it's just going to be over.
Why is it called Damn?
Damn, wait. Y'all niggas wasn't ready. That's what you're going to say when you get through listening to it. Damn. Shit was fire.
If this shit is whack,
that's what you're going to say when you get through listening to it.
The memes will be out of this world for that cover.
Soon as you cut that motherfucker on, guess what you're going to say after the first couple bars? Damn,
this shit garbage like that last one.
K-Dot, Cornrow Kenny going in like this, man. I can't believe it. Also, there's a podcast that breakdown to Pimp a Butterfly that you need to listen to.
I don't want to hear anything related to that garbage ass album,
dude. I'm just telling you.
Man.
I'll tell you the name of it before we leave, but you just need to listen to that. Understand To Pimp a Butterfly. Maybe if you grow a fro, He would get it. All
right, man, we back. LeBron. Yeah, I know, it's crazy. LeBron James was on his Instagram live, his snap. He was shaking it the other day. Doing his regular riding. It looked like he was riding somewhere. I don't know where the fuck he was at.
Was he in the Honda?
I don't know what. No, he was in the Kia.
The Kia, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck he had going on. But what was interesting was that he was playing the new intro for Meek Mill's Dream Chasers 4.5. He was playing. Yeah, he's playing a new intro. And a lot of people were like, damn, what is LeBron doing with this new Meek Mill?
Right.
Then he turned around and played some new Nipsey Hussle. Mm-hmm. People were like, damn, what the fuck is LeBron doing with this new Nipsey Hussle?
And he was somewhere on Snapchat or Instagram today with somebody, I believe.
You see what I'm saying? Now, my question is it corny to have an athlete debut your music?
It's LeBron, so yes. Like, it's hard for you to be like everything with LeBron seems so rehearsed. It seems so, like, staged.
Yeah.
So I feel like they probably approached the rappers with it and be like, look, I got a million followers.
You think so?
Yeah. Nigga, LeBron got a brilliant team. And I mean, it's a good idea.
First of all, he has 30 million followers, let's be very clear. Okay.
Exactly. So I got 30 million followers. Send me whatever you got this banging. I'm going to play it on my Instagram like I'm rhyming to it and have people waiting on your shit.
He knew the words and everything, though. Like, he was reciting words and everything. So, he may have had it for a minute.
It's LeBron. Like, he probably listening to that. Like, if you send it to me, I'm listening to it all day. What, I got 45-second clips, so I got to remember eight bars?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So my favorite little part, I remember that where I'm shooting my 1,000 shots or whatever it is I do on my regimen every day. And then I make it look like your shit banging. I had it early. It make me cool. It make you cool. But to me, it's still lame.
Now,
it's like lame, though. Like, I would rather see you listening to it in the studio, though. Nah, I know it's not going to reach 30 million people, exactly. But still.
But see, here's the thing that makes it. First of all, yes, it is lame. But here's what makes it lame, though. LeBron James' image is spick and span, squeaky clean. So, Everything he does is calculated. Okay. Everything he do is formulated. Uh-huh. Everything. So to hear him bobbing his head to a nigga like Meek Mill who rapping all gangster shit, and he's sitting there rapping the words too and bobbing his head dumb hard, it looks strange.
LeBron from Akron, my nigga.
But it looks strange. Like I know, I'm not saying he not into that for real, but knowing his image, it looks weird. And then listening to Blue Strings or Blue Chucks or whatever the song was with Nipsey. No, it looks strange. Did you see the clip?
It looks strange because LeBron looks strange doing it.
Yeah, he about 10 feet tall. But
yeah,
but
I'm saying,
crazy.
Like, it ain't. I'm not taking LeBron hood pass away just because
he's not either
basketball, but it sounds like that's what you were just trying.
No, it looks weird. That's
why?
All I'm saying.
Because he's in the NBA. Damian Lillard raps.
But he don't rap no hood shit.
Steven Jackson raps.
Steven Jackson is a nigga. What are you talking about?
You saying LeBron James not a nigga?
That's not his image. That's all I'm saying.
So you saying it don't make sense because it's not his image?
Exactly. That's all.
I just think
Rasheed Wallace back in the day was listening to this shit, that's one thing. AI was listening to it, that's one thing.
So who do you pick, then? Who would you go with? If you were Meek Mill.
I would go with LeBron.
Wait, so you're saying he should be listening to Drake?
It would make more sense.
Oh, okay. So, like,
that's all I'm saying.
LeBron banging new Drake shit. You're like, oh, okay, that don't look forced. It's LeBron.
It don't.
It's Drake.
Thank you.
It makes sense.
It does.
But if he listening to the new Bootsy,
it looks weird, bro.
If you listen to Boopak, you got a problem with that.
Yeah, I have a problem with anybody listening to Boopak. I have a problem with it being called Boopak. That's another story.
Okay.
If you hopped in the Kia with LeBron,
something that he listening to. Okay, I'm joking with the Boopak. Let's say that he's listening to. LeBron can't listen to that Ross? Is that what you're saying? If he can't listen to Jeezy?
That's fine.
He can or can't?
He can.
He can listen to Jeezy, but he can't listen to Meek Mill.
Right.
I don't understand that.
They're not on the same level, number one.
What?
No, Jeezy has graduated from the street shit.
If any nigga talk street shit, if any nigga talk that, like.
It's elevated street shit, though.
It's not grimy street shit.
His
last single in Bankroll Fresh was
that's elevated street shit.
That's not. That's really not.
Now if I would have hopped in and he listened to Can't Ban the Snowman, that's weird to me. I'm like, come on, LeBron, you forcing it, bro.
LeBron can't listen to Trap or Die.
He for everybody listen to Trap or Die. That's different. Okay. That's different.
They go to our conversation later.
But absolutely. But I'm just saying it looks weird that LeBron is listening to that. It just doesn't make sense. I'm not saying that he doesn't in his spare time. It just looks crazy to me. That's all I'm saying. If he walked,
don't agree with that sentiment.
If LeBron walked into game one with a snowman shirt on, it would look crazy,
LeBron,
dude.
Not Taylor Swift, dude. Like if Taylor Swift a backseat freestyle on Good Kid, Mad City is weird. I get that.
Yeah, it's weird to me too.
But I, like LeBron is black. He from Akron. Like he know shit. He knows niggas.
If Ben Carson Barack, listened to fucking,
he not Barack Obama, dude. Like might, you know what I'm saying?
That's
like
the image that he's producing. He might as well be.
Nah, I just don't agree with that. I just can't go with that. Like that, essentially what you're saying is LeBron can't listen to Pac or Big.
That's elevated shit.
Oh my god.
Come on,
okay,
man.
What if LeBron was listening to like Dobie?
That would be weird, motherfucker. You know that. You know that, dude. If I got in the car, he listened to Lil Herb, I'd be like, what the fuck? Why might, are you listening to this
like
nigga?
LeBron might fuck with that shit. I'm from there. He know that.
I'm saying I forget that he's younger. He's
exactly
younger than.
You know what I'm saying? He's not 40 years old.
He's not. But it's just the image. That's all. Okay. It looks weird. I'm not saying it ain't legit. It just looks weird.
I gotcha.
But it's very smart to have him play that for his 30 million followers.
That's a great idea.
It's a very smart play. Now, let me ask you this before we move on real quick. What if you say, hey, LeBron, can you play my intro on your shit? And he was like, yeah, for $50,000. Would you pay him?
Yes.
A million?
I'm not even quite. Yes.
500? What the fuck? You're not paying $1 million if you fucking, if you're Meek Mill.
He got 30 million followers, dude. If he playing and act like he's banging.
That's like
yes.
a Super Bowl commercial. That's like, yes.
This the new promo, dude. Like, yes, here. You need $1 million for that? Yes, here you go. Now, my question, though, one more before we get off of this. How do Drake feel about that?
Now,
Drake got to send his songs to Steph Curry?
Drake ain't got to send his songs to nobody.
He sent his songs straight to Apple.
Man.
Actually.
Send his shit to Mars, outer space. Have an alien playing this shit. That'll
no, but,
be the only
but do
thing
you see what I'm saying,
mind.
Though?
Yeah, I get
so
it.
So now is the relationship conflicted between those two because he bobbing his head, banging to this Meek Mill, and you LeBron James, and I know you running into Drake.
And Drake brought him out in a show in Cleveland.
That's what I'm saying. So like that, now is there a problem if you Drake? If like you're not hitting LeBron up no more?
That's small
you
things to
with
a
KD?
No, that's small things to a giant. Man. He brought KD out
not
anyway.
Not Drake. He take all of this shit. Like he will be at the finals in the Golden State jersey.
If anything, he need to be mad that the song he was playing was fire. That's what he needs to be concerned with.
He don't give a fuck about
that. The intro was fire.
Meek Mill could have God on a verse and Jesus on the track. Drake still will have no issues, dude. It don't matter. The road is 30 million out for you, dude.
All right, moving on. Before we get to this music break, real quick. Mm-hmm. Australian, this is fucking hilarious. Australian rapper, his name is Tupac. Oh, my
See,
God.
Here we go. This is a fucking theme for the show. Maybe we should change the name of the show to Two Show.
I'll let him slide, though, because he's from Australia. He may not understand.
Fuck that. He know the fuck Pac is.
Well, let me tell you what Tupac did. He was at a seafood restaurant. He ordered two lobsters, 17 oyster shooters.
Big dog in it.
And a baby octopus. His tab came up to $621.
Damn, for two lobsters?
He did not agree with the ticket, so he jumped in the ocean, which was nearby, and swam away. Police ended up catching him on a jet ski, and they arrested him.
oh, my God.
Is it a good idea or bad idea promo for young Tupac?
At least we're talking about Tupac. At least that's happening, but I think the bad idea was to jump into the ocean after those 17 shots and eating the octopus.
Yeah.
To me, that's where you fucked up at. Tupac is, what would we say, $600?
Yeah, $621.
If you ain't got $600, you can't call yourself Tupac. I'm sorry.
He ain't got $600 for seafood.
I mean, maybe you should have been in there ordering $600 worth of seafood.
How
nigga,
the fuck do you order $600 worth of seafood?
When you get octopus, that shit costs, nigga. How often do niggas eat octopus?
I refuse to believe that's $600.
Octopus gotta be high.
A baby octopus is $600.
Gotta be high. And two lobsters?
What the fuck kind of lobsters was these?
Nigga, lobster high in itself. And an octopus, nigga? I ain't even never seen no octopus, nigga. Fuck how much they selling that shit for, nigga? Nah, I know that shit was high. Then he had 17 shots?
Yeah, oysters, something.
Man, what the fuck is that?
Listen.
That shit would be, come on, man.
Tupac, you're a legend.
He a legend.
You're a living legend, sir.
He is.
This is right up there with Rich Homie firing on dude in Miami and then jumping on the jet boat and dipping. Off. That was legendary. He just jacked it with the Biggie shit, so that X'd that out. Don't forget Rich Homie was on some legendary shit. This is also legendary. You ran onto the beach and jumped in the water and swam away from the ticket? fully clothed? That's beast mode, dude. Now, the police are the petty motherfuckers, though.
For catching him?
The police didn't even have access to the jet skis and shit. They called the fucking sea authority motherfuckers, and they had them go get him. Like, come on, bro.
At what point in your life do you figure out, like, either I can pay this $16 tab, or I can jump in the ocean and try to swim away and make it?
He was 33, by the way.
That's sad.
Or 34.
That's sad, though.
Nah, he a legend. Legendary Tupac. Hold your head, Tupac.
Pray for Tupac, man.
Hold your head.
Pray for that guy.
All right, man. Let's hit this music
break. At least
break.
I would run out the front door with some dignity, though. I'm not swimming away.
No, beast mode.
Most niggas can't swim. No,
I can. I would have got ghost out of there.
You're not making it. I know I'm not making it in the water. Some outside chance, I might can outrun a nigga. I might can if the nigga fat. But I know I can swim, but I'm not out swimming nobody. Nothing. I can survive. That was just long enough for a motherfucker to come find me, but nah.
I'm out of there. In the ocean. Hot at you. All right, new music. Speaking of T.I. earlier, man, he's on some new shit. He's prepping his new album and a new Hustle Gang album and a new Hustle Gang tour. But he jumped on a song that's been bubbling down here in the A, man. It's by Peanut the Don. Mm. And the song is called Trenches Reloaded. Let's listen to T.I., man, see what he's talking about in 2017.
Cute. Man, you better get your paper. Keep it low in these trenches. Keep it on you. Go for next. And what I know from these trenches. Respect a man if he deserves it. I never take from whom have. Came from nothing, started eight or something. Really had to get it out the bottom, though. Please believe a nigga had dreams. Then we trapping like ain't no tomorrow, though. Remember, tight got so bad, had the bar, though. Flip me a pack, get a Carter ride. First time I witnessed a homicide. To tell you the truth, I was horrified. Every week, another altercation. Nigga around me, they ain't letting nothing slide. Home invasion, get home tied. Jeff, I shining too hard if you look sweet. Gambling half to the wee out. 50 grand on a good week. Remember, though, was a good day. Run the bag up on a good J. On a spoon, seen him cook, yay. Broke it down, it was over. The trapping money, gotta watch him smoke it. He need another, he just holler for it. Got a problem, sip, set, ride for it. Long little done that way. I remember nigga nicking, ain't laugh, but when I hear a voice, stick a CFA. Yeah. Same nip from over there. Can't fold, it's a dirty game. All right,
man, that was Peanut the Don and T.I.P. How you feel about it?
Young Peanut, that was banging, though. I like that. T.I. ripped it, as the king always does. So I'm fucking with that, man. I'm fucking with that. I like that.
I like it, too, and I know I've mentioned before that we had a Rappers Who Need to Retire episode.
And you said T.I.
And I believe I had T.I. And the only reason I said that was because I am good on a solo record from T.I. from here on out. But his feature game has never been stronger because he just bodied that. And
T.I. fucked up.
And listen closely, people. This is why niggas respect somebody like a T.I. What did he say on the song? He said, the first time I seen a homicide, I'm not going to lie, I was terrified. That honesty, that is what's missing from Troy Ave. Mm. Niggas not super gangster out here, dude. Like, niggas don't want to hear how you super gangster and you super hard. Niggas want to hear you see some crazy shit go down and you was fucked up about the shit. Because that's real life. It's more realistic.
Not that you were thinking about it and you was hitting the sport button and making the engine.
No, none of that.
You throwing your arm up to make sure the nigga didn't shoot you. Yeah, and then all of this was going on and you didn't pull off.
None of that Rambo shit. None of that. I got my vest on in the interview in case somebody tried to Abe Lincoln me. None of that bullshit.
It's a nigga.
I'm done.
I like the song. It's banging. I think T.I. definitely needs to come out with at least one more album.
He is the dime trap on the way.
No, I don't want to hear the dime trap.
Said you didn't want to hear no more goddamn T.I. albums.
Let me explain.
Okay.
The king is dead. Let's go ahead and run with the king is dead.
Oh, man.
Give me 9-10 good tracks. Finally, do the end of T.I., just do the king is dead shit. Then you could do the feature thing like you said. But I feel like T.I., you know, he done reached his peak. He done his thing. He's still rapping, killing it right now. He can do the feature thing. But I need that King is Dead album to go in and bow out the game.
I do feel like rappers do need an exit album.
This King is Dead.
That's I'm cool with that. Just like movies need closure and TV shows need, like, for real deal series finales. Don't just cancel the show in the middle of a... That's some stuff. We need endings. I think rappers need for real deal final albums, and they need to sound like a final album.
Like Black Album.
Exactly. Do we need an encore?
Like the Black Album was.
That would have been cold. Think if that would have been his last album. That would have been a walk-off.
We would have never had American Gangster.
Nah, yeah, that would have been some slaw. But that would have been a walk-off.
That we needed.
That's a goddamn
Post-Black
lie.
Black Album.
All right.
Black Album, that ain't the only whole album that we needed.
Yeah, I needed some more after that.
Nah.
All right, so we're talking trap music again. Shout out to Cotton in the rap chat. T.I. was on Angie Martinez, like we said earlier, and he made a very bold statement about his place in trap music history. Let's play the clip.
Because a lot of people, they don't really, really, you know that I created trap music. You know what I'm saying? I didn't think I got that old.
What do you mean?
They're like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like trap music. Like, there was no such thing as trap music prior to. No such thing. It didn't exist.
And what do you mean you ain't think you got that old?
It was Outkast and Crump. Like, that's what it was. You had organized, should I say organized noise? You had organized noise and
Crump. Were you labeling it that out the gate?
But yeah.
Yeah.
My second album. Mm-hmm. 2003.
Second
trap
album.
Trap music.
Right, second album.
Yeah. Okay. So, because the first album I did, everybody, you know, people who heard it, they didn't know where I was from. Mm. They're like, is he from Atlanta? He raps too good. Like, is he,
yeah.
Is he from New York? Yeah. Where's he from?
Now, you definitely had like a dude who was from Atlanta but spent summers in New York type
so
of
So, trap music, right. You know, trap music was like establishing a sound, establishing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, this is who I am.
So T.I. says that he created trap music, and he referenced his 2003 sophomore album, Trap Music. Now, so that prompted the discussion in a rap chat. Some people agreed. Some people disagreed. Some people thought it came before him. Mm-hmm. So I guess we want to go through the generations or the decades because we understand that trap music is not what it was today as it was in 95. So we've got 90s, 2000s, and 2010s that we're going to cover. First of all, is he the king granddaddy of trap music?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so I'm hoping that in this discussion, when we go through these years, you're going to tell me who is.
I'll try. Okay. I don't necessarily think there's a king because of different variations, but he definitely isn't it, though, just because he coined the phrase.
That's pretty big, though. I'm gonna be honest.
Because coining the phrase don't got a lot to do with necessarily what, to me, what trap music is. Like,
what is it?
If we're gonna be 100% honest, it's about selling dope, drugs.
That's it.
No, drugs, selling drugs, making money off selling drugs, and what goes with it. Whether it be the ups and downs, the ins, the outs, I should be able to explain it to you. But everything that I'm doing or telling you is revolving around selling drugs.
I think it's a little deeper than that, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
How?
I think it's about, well, and I'm going to break this down because I think it means different things in different eras.
Okay. Well, I mean, but that's getting a little deeper than.
For sure.
Okay.
But, okay, just on the surface level then, yes, it's about selling drugs, but I think it's about selling drugs on a little bit of a grimier level. It's not a high end. It's not so, if Scarface rapped, he's not a trap to me. He wouldn't be a trap rapper because that's a higher level of doing it. I think it's more grimy. It's more trap house. It's more what I saw in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's not trapping out of a mansion,
right?
That, in my opinion, in the Hollywood Hills.
Scarface the movie?
Yes.
Or the rapper? Okay.
I'm at the movie, my bad.
Gotcha.
But let's take it. So if T.I., who did it before T.I.? Let's take it to the 90s. Are there any people, any specific albums? What defined trap music to you in the 90s?
The Ice Cream Man.
See you, P. You name drop P, goddammit.
That's my uncle.
Shit.
So, I mean, even before then, Pocket Full of Stones, UGK. And even if I'm going to go before then, I remember the first extensive album that I heard, like, and it may be because it was from the city that I was from, it was Pistol. When Pistol dropped his first album.
For
this
sure.
This was like 90, well, not even his first album. Well, I wasn't on it then, but I think it was Rolling in My 6-4, whatever the name of the album was.
Shout out Nashville.
Yeah, shout out Nashville. Shout out Pistol. Look him up. He on, I think he on Apple Music. You know what I'm saying? But go listen to some of his stuff. And this was the first nigga that I heard, like, flat out talking about selling drugs, damn near on every song. And it wasn't called trap music back then. It was just a nigga that we knew, well, not even knew, but a nigga that was from where we were from. And his music was banging. He had money and shit. So we was fucking with this nigga.
Yeah,
Pistol was the only person that I believe in Nashville that had like united the whole city, like fucked with him, not no side thing. But that's another conversation for another day. What I say will say is UGK, Pistol, some Bay Area rappers like Mac Dre, those were the first people that I heard talking about drugs extensively. Dayton Family was definitely one of them, like FBI album. Those were the first ones that I remember.
Right.
And a lot or the majority of their content was about or based around the impact of things that happened from selling drugs. And that's what I believe the trap music is.
I'm with you. A lot of people would say early Outkast, first album.
No.
First Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music.
Nope.
Actually, they mentioned trap in Aquemini. Actually, that was the first time I heard the term trap used in the context in which it's known for.
What is it, West Savannah, that song?
I think so. That's why it's called a trap. That whole little part right there, I was like, damn, okay. That was the first time I remember hearing it myself. Now, trap in music wasn't a phrase back then. Like, there was no such thing as that subgenre.
Right.
But people would also argue Goody Mob. Some people would argue Yo Gotti. But then again, that's more of the lane of us knowing who Pistol is because we're from Nashville. So if you're from Memphis, then you probably were listening to Yo Gotti in the 90s. And he probably was talking street tales and the perils and the pitfalls that go along with it.
Yep.
Now, fast forward to 2000, which is a little bit more and people closer in people's rear view.
Yeah, getting to our fan base now.
Absolutely. Now, who do you got? You got, that's what T.I. dropped trap music.
Yeah. 01, was it?
No, 03.
03.
That was 03. Mm-hmm. Then you've got, of course, Jeezy in mid-2000.
It's not like
Gucci. Those are trap artists, are they not?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Jeezy was the first nigga that made it cool, official, or mainstream. Well,
because trap music, the album was mainstream. Don't do that. Trap music, the album, T.I. was mainstream.
Yeah, but T.I. wasn't talking like what Jeezy was. Like, Jeezy was talking about flat the fuck out selling drugs.
It was more gritty, was it not?
So that's what the trap is. Like you said, it's grit. It's grime. So the trap music for T.I. was necessarily what a dope boy would listen to. These are songs that are catered to a nigga that's up in the trap and I'm selling drugs.
How they would look.
Yeah, like the thing, like the love stories that I have where I got a gal that's pregnant, two gals that's pregnant at the same time.
Oh, shit.
And, you know what I mean? Like, she coming to court when I got cases and all that. Or Let's Get Away, the song with Jazzy Faye. Like, those are trap songs as far as how a dope nigga would be living and want to hear that while he riding. But Jeezy was talking specifics. Like, Jeezy was the first nigga to come talk specifics, and people were like relating it. Like, you would go to work in a call center, and a little chick would be like, "Yeah, with the squares and this and that." You're like, "Damn,
right?"
You know what I'm saying? Like, Jeezy was the first nigga that made it cool for everybody.
It crossed over at that point.
Everybody was saying, "Yeah,
yeah."
Like, when he came out with it, it was in every car, whether they understood it or not. A lot of people may not have gotten some of the stories that T.I. was telling because they never lived their life. So they weren't trying to recreate it or repeat it.
Right, right, right. Jeezy was straight to the point.
He made it so cool that people who had no idea what he was talking about wanted to find out about selling drugs.
It sounded good.
It sounded so good. And Jeezy had the benefit of BMF. He had the benefit of the DVD documentary series. Like, T.I. didn't have that.
Right.
So if T.I. tell you, I was doing this and doing that and I had the birds or whatever it is at 15, 16, I'm not saying you're lying.
Right, right, right.
I just didn't see it.
Of course.
I seen Jeezy with
You saw BMF, let's be clear.
No, wait. I seen him with Meech, though.
Oh, yeah.
And this nigga was pulling up in the same cars that Meech was in. We heard the stories of when he came to Nashville to record the Grey Goose song. What he pulled up in and how the booth looked when he was in there with the diamonds glistening and shit.
Right.
You don't hear stories like that about niggas. So niggas put two and two together. Jeezy was the first nigga that had the track record that was able to back it up. And you seen it. And it was like a lore around it. Like, there were folk tales about this nigga, dog.
Yeah. So,
like T.I. said, the first time he met the nigga, like, he came in there and he put out like money that was dead, clearly not legal money, like just emptied the duffel bag in the middle of the floor. T.I. said he took him to the back and had to rap with him, like, "Hey, bro, like, you can't move like this."
Right, right, right.
You know what I'm saying? But go ahead.
But so, if I said each era for me, trap was defined by one or two words. In the 90s, I think it was content. Pocket full of stones, like you said, pistol joints. It was the content in what you were saying. I think in 2000s, the production came into play.
I think it was 2010, though. I think it's when we got to the new niggas.
No, watch. You had Toomp. You had Shorty Red. Shorty Red, in my opinion, in terms of production, he is the reason why it sound like how it sound today.
You ain't going to get your boy DJ Paul and them niggas? Nah,
the Crunk. That's Crunk.
That's Crunk?
Yeah, in my opinion. That's more of a Crunk lane.
What about the niggas in Oakland?
Who?
Whoever, like, they always
Zaytoven
here. Zaytoven from
I know that's what you
but
can
I
say him
here, not Mac Dre or whatever it may be. I always
them beats don't sound like that, bro.
You don't think so?
No, they don't sound like Charter Red, bro. No, you ain't
more,
heard of me.
A little bit more 808s. I've heard it definitely. Don't do it like that.
You think Mac Dre sound like Shorty Red?
I didn't say he sounded like him. I'm talking about the production as far as the little Bing Ting things. Not the boom 808s, but the other little sonically Bing Ting and little things in the background.
Bing Ting. You talking about hi-hats?
The shit, whatever, nigga. You the music motherfucker. I don't know. I don't make beats or nothing like that. But what I'm saying, the stuff, the hi-hats or whatever, maybe the bells, that stuff is similar to early Oakland music.
Okay.
So that's why people contribute Oakland to being the originator of the sound, is what I'm saying.
So I'm saying that production-wise in the mid-2000s, that's when it switched. Because then you had Lex Luger, you know what I'm saying, like late 2000, right between 2000 2010. It switched to the production. Now, here's the thing, though. And, of course, you had Gucci with Zaytoven and all that good shit.
Don't gloss over Gucci like that.
Drummer Boy, too. Those are trap beats. That's when you could go to a nigga studio and be like, bro, I need a trap beat. And somebody knew what you were talking about. Before Toomp, before Shawty Red, that wasn't a term. Like, a trap beat wasn't a thing.
Toomp, I think you're giving Toomp too much credit here.
Only because he was on trap music real heavy. I have to give him some kind
but
of credit.
Again, that's not, like, what they're asking for, though, when they go in there. They're asking for that Shawty Red sound, though.
Yeah, Lex Luger, yeah, when Shawty Red.
Jeezy made niggas believe that they could. Jeezy made drug dealing niggas believe that they could rap. If
absolutely.
They had stories like he had, then they felt like if they got a, what you said, trap beat.
Absolutely.
Shorty Red, then they could go in there and rap. And that, to me, nowadays, that's the definition of trap music. It's mutated into niggas who do actually have talent.
Right, for sure.
And they feel like they could rap just based off their previous experiences, and they go and ask for a trap beat from a nigga like whoever you said as far as the producers is nowadays. And that's essentially what we have is trap music. I don't think it goes as deep as what T.I. is saying, as I coined the phrase, to give him the credit to starting it.
That's deep, though, bro.
What do you mean?
If he doesn't call that album trap music, we're not using that term right
that's
now, bro.
That's not true. Who, niggas, not, like...
What? Somebody else would have came up with it? Stop.
It wasn't a half-court shot. It was more like a layup. Don't act like trap music was far-fetched, nigga. Like you said, Outkast said that shit on...
No, they said the trap. They didn't say trap music, though. That's different.
Nobody else called himself the king of the South, either. Congratulations, T.I. You coined two
That's
frames.
Fine. Nobody called they shit crump music. That was up to Lil Jon and them. But it created a subgenre that, unlike crump music, is pretty much dead. But trap music is still alive right now. Crump music dead.
I mean, pretty much.
I mean, there's EDM trap music, too, by the way, but that's a whole other story.
I mean, okay, let me ask you this. How do you feel about the perception of trap music nowadays? Having lived through UGK, Jeezy, and the people that we're discussing now and talking about trap music, now you got, like, you got Chinese trap, like
Korean.
Yeah, you got the Korean motherfuckers doing this shit over totally the trap
crossed
beach.
Over.
You got the EMD shit. You got the
EDM.
Grunge shit.
Right.
You have all of these different genres of trap music. How do you feel about that? Is it exploitation or is it
just admiration? It's admiration.
Admiration. They just like it.
Yeah. So they want to do it. Just like you said, the Jeezy made the Doughboys think they could rap.
That's a fact.
So Korean K-pop or Korean trap, whatever the fuck it's called, they hear it and they admire it and they feel like they can do it. I don't know what life is in Korea and the slums and the ghetto and the I have no fucking clue. So I can't sit here and be like, y'all don't understand. I can't do that from 3,000 million miles away. I'm not going to do them like that.
Right.
I'm also not going to be like, hey, y'all feel this either, because I don't know that y'all could be flogging this whole time. I don't know. If you fast forward to present day, the 2010s, I said content was in the 90s and production was in the 2000s. Today is style. It's a combination of both plus style. That's how you got Migo, quote unquote, Migos flow. That's how you got Future, how he sound, if you want to call mumble rap, whatever you want to call it. That is trap music today. It's a combination of beats, it's the production, what they talking about, and how they're saying it. So the niggas that's leading the pack, obviously, Migos. But then you also had niggas like that came along with maybe one or two bangers, like a Juice Man or a Scooter.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? You got those offsets of people.
You try to do Scooter like that, like he ain't still making music, though.
I mean, does he have a hit, though? That's all I'm saying. I don't know if he has a hit. I haven't listened to the last project.
Columbia is his hit.
Yeah, that's what I said. He had one hit.
Post that.
Yeah, Tough.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So I think when you nowadays, again, you can still say, hey man, let me get a trap beat. But you can also, if a nigga rapping a certain way, you can say he got like a trap flow over it. And it's obviously more mainstream now. You know what I'm saying? Like it's but it's not just reserved for drug talk, because niggas like Clips and Pusha T and Jay-Z have been talking about drugs and shit a long time. But that's not trap music though. To me, that's more higher end shit.
They've been talking about drugs. More lyrical. It ain't necessarily their music doesn't revolve around selling drugs.
Pusha T's don't?
Nah. Pusha T revolves around being a dope lyricist. Nah, like if Pusha T couldn't rap, people wouldn't care about his drug talk. Yeah, he's just able to put the lyrics together so cold that motherfuckers fuck with him and being like almost trap.
No.
But it's not simplistic enough.
That's not true though. T.I. shit wasn't simplistic though.
Yeah, you understood T.I. shit.
Rick Ross and shit. Another early Rick Ross.
Rick Ross not a trap rapper though.
Early BMF is a trap song, bro. That's a trap song, dude.
BMF just a hit. That's all it is. Like, to me, Ross is more like he corporate trap. I hear corporate trap, dude. Like what somebody would perceive.
That mean Pusha is then.
No.
I mean Jay is.
No, let me finish.
All right.
Rick Ross is somebody who you would perceive. If I'm a person who knows nothing about selling drugs or nothing about how the ins and outs of it go, Rick Ross is what I would perceive as a drug dealer. He talk a good game. No specifics really. Like he don't really get into it, but just enough to make you think that it is what it is. So you cool and you run with it. When he say man Pablo, he may have. You know what I'm saying? Like he'll put pictures up to make you believe what he's saying. So it's good. It's corporate. Jay to me, well, I ain't even gonna get into Jay yet. I would say Gucci is a more unfiltered version. Gucci give you shit that happen every day that motherfuckers like slow niggas in the trap that think that, or not even slow niggas, I won't say that, but niggas is there every day doing like hand on work.
Right.
Like shit like that. That's workers. What Gucci give you. Exactly. Like a worker nigga perception that made it. Or a nigga that give you a perception of like, I was here hands on every day grinding, doing my shit independent, and I'm that type of trap nigga.
Right.
That's what Gucci give you. I feel like Jeezy give you like a more, Jeezy created the sound to me. As far as everything that I'm doing is revolving around selling drugs. Like I'm not hiding it. I'm not trying to be no other type of way about it. I used to sell drugs and all my music revolves around that, regardless if I'm on a song with Mariah Carey, Beyonce, Usher. It doesn't matter. It's gonna be a drug reference in this verse.
Right.
I'm Jeezy. This is what you paid me for. This is what I do. I feel like he the only person that does that. Everybody else try to switch it up or whatever it may be when they get on different shit with different people. Jeezy don't do that. Everything that Jeezy ever said had something to do with selling drugs, and he presented it to you as such in the beginning. And I feel like Jay just embodied it all. Jay was smart enough to figure all that shit out.
Right.
Jay was the nigga that like, I can take every aspect of what you're saying. I can give you all the good details like Pusha T might give you. I can make it sound as good as Rick Ross may make it sound. I can make it be as cold as Jeezy is, as far as everything that I do resulted from me being back in the day and losing these 92 bricks. I can do it all. And I feel like that's why we call him the greatest. But I agree with you. Also, that's not trap music.
Right. Yeah, I don't think so either. But that make a lot of sense. Now, my question is, 2020, are we still listening to trap music? 2025, is trap music still a thing? Or is something new come along? Is it going to be dead like Crunk?
Niggas ain't trapping though, they scamming though. So I think we're gonna be listening to scam music.
I don't wanna hear that.
You're gonna be listening to credit card music, dude. Niggas gonna have a song called credit card music. That's what it's gonna be called.
I hope not. The definition is, cause like who, there's other people that talk about that and had that sound, but you wouldn't qualify them or classify them as a trap. Like is it Fetty Wap trap?
Fetty Wap, I don't know what Fetty Wap talks about. I've never listened to a project.
He talk about street shit.
Like,
is Meek Mill trap?
Nah. Like, there's a difference also between, like, just street shit and trap. Like, NWA is not trap rap.
But it's street shit.
It's street shit, though. It's gangster shit.
Gangster rap.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Meek Mill not no weak nigga. I ain't saying that he never sold drugs or right, like right, that, right. But that ain't trap shit that he talking about.
Yo Gotti?
Yeah, Yo Gotti is definitely. I ain't taking nothing away from that.
All white, everything.
Man, like, everything that Yo Gotti got going on essentially revolves around him usually, like, from selling drugs.
Dolph?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh yeah, trapping out of mansion.
Yeah, like all dogs. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It may not be like coke, but it's weed or whatever it may be, or lean. But all, everything that he talks about or that he got associated with Dolph revolves around selling drugs.
He corrected.
I feel like that's what trap music is. Like, people say 3-6, and the only reason that I don't say 3-6 because that was like what you said, more crunk music.
Yeah, it was.
The sound was similar, but them niggas really wasn't talking about, they was talking about whooping niggas' asses.
And using drugs.
Using drugs, fucking bitches, crazy shit, getting your dick sucked, like running hoes. Like, that's what they was talking about. It was more so or less cocaine music.
Crunk and party shit.
Crunk party shit that you do when you fucked up. That ain't, to me, not trap music sonically because of the BPMs or beat per minute or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Because it sounds the same, I would say motherfuckers try to compare, but it's not a comparison to me. Let me ask you this, though. What about the Hot Boys?
That street shit.
What about Manny Fresh? Is he a trap producer? He the first trap producer?
Oof. That's close.
That's close?
Nah, but he... Ah, it's different though.
Because when you Google trap music, Manny Fresh comes up. Chop comes up.
He shouldn't. Chop shouldn't either. That's drill music.
Lex Luthor, Zay.
Lex Luger Crocs, for sure.
Walker, Gucci, Jeezy, 3-6.
Why is 3-6 on the list?
That's who come up when you
and
Google.
And I fucks with 3-6, and I listen to a shitload of 3-6 coming up, and I would have to wholeheartedly disagree that that is not trap music at all.
Right.
I don't know, man. I think a new genre. I think because it's popular right now, and much like most things that get really popular, that just kills them just faster.
Water it down.
Exactly. So like, sooner
Migos,
or later,
like people would consider Migos trap rap. I wouldn't consider it that.
Yeah, they are.
No,
they are.
It's more entertaining.
No, you just said everything you revolves around. T-shirt 17.5, same color T-shirt. Stop.
They heard Jeezy say that though. Like
I get it.
And they from a generation where they had a benefit. Like Jeezy would say his influences are Trick Daddy and N.W.A.
Trick Daddy not trap rap though.
Exactly. You're going to my point.
Yep.
So Jeezy would say those are his influences, and those people are just not trap rappers.
Street
if you
shit.
Ask the Migos who their influences are, it's going to be Gucci Mane and Jeezy.
That's fair.
Trap niggas. So I ain't necessarily having to do what they did, but that shit influenced me so heavily, it's going to come out in my music, of course.
So that's why they're trap rappers. I'm not saying these niggas, I seen them on the block and not the fucking they were the wire and shit.
Well, no, I ain't saying that either. I'm just thinking that they're, to me, they're more talented than that genre. Like, them niggas is big, dude. Like,
that's only because they got shouted out, bro.
Nah, it's not just because they got shouted out.
That's
they
a major.
Good music. Like, ever since then,
nigga,
they
I know.
Like, they could have got that shout out, and motherfuckers would have been like, they ain't done. Like, they've been shaking it ever since. Them niggas been making moves, doing air, like, commercials. Like, everything is fitting in. So, I feel like they're bigger than trap music. Them niggas is mainstream.
But, so that means Jeezy is too, then.
Jeezy not mainstream.
Get the fuck out of here, dude.
Jeezy can't go on Ellen, dude.
He
ain't got Ellen singing Raindrop, Drop Top. Like, she wasn't on that singing the Bankroll Fresh single, dude. Jeezy lost that. He lost that a long time ago.
Jeezy's not in his prime. That's
okay,
fair.
That's fine.
But at one point in time, he was.
Right.
And he was crossing over and doing shit with Mariah Carey and R&B shit.
He wasn't on Ellen.
It's a different day now, though.
Even today, Jeezy not going to be on Jimmy Fallon, like, doing Bad and Bougie, dude.
That's a bigger song. That's a hit record.
That's why I'm saying they're bigger than trap rap. Like, them niggas make hits. Like, real deal hits.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Jeezy makes shit that it may reach the charts and people may fuck with it and get it like My President is Black or Put On because they can relate to that part of it. But them niggas make hits.
Yeah, that's a fact.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, y'all let us know. Who started trap?
Who influenced y'all trap music? Like, who was the first person that you heard that you felt like was a trap rapper that you felt like was talking about what we see a trap rapper is or what you feel like a trap rapper is? Go to the rap chat and leave a comment.
Is Boosie trap rap?
Nah, he is more so like Pac, like street shit.
He's more so like Pac. Jesus Christ.
I'm not comparing him to Pac at all. I'm not calling him Boopac.
Man, what the fuck?
I'm not calling him Boopac at all, but I'm just saying.
That's a horrible name for an album, that's too. Awful. Like, I don't listen to Boosie music, but I understand. I would understand him having an album circled around Pac shit more than I would Trav, because I've heard people compare Boosie's music to Pac before.
You just jumped out of the fucking building when I said this shit was more like
Pac. I had to. That was for the laughs.
That's bullshit.
But I have heard people compare him to Pac, and I understand. And why?
Okay, let me clarify my statement in comparing him, though.
Okay.
I'm comparing him saying that just like the way that he relays his message, I'm not saying that it's as impactful or as many people will understand it or that it will stand as long as Pac's has. I'm saying that it's similar in the sense of he's real life. Like, he gonna give you Bootsy. Like, he gonna give you the fuck ups, the stuff that you said you don't get from Troy Ave.
Right.
He giving you all of that.
I feel
it. Regardless of how it make him look. And that's why so many people relate to him. And I feel like that's why he think he can call that shit boot pop. But hey, bro, I got to hit Hatch up and let him know, no, man.
That ain't it.
Nope.
What about Kevin Gates?
What about him?
Is he a trap run?
Nah, hell no.
All right. Luca Brasi, he ain't trap run? No,
fuck right. No. Well, like, Kevin Gates is, like, so emotional.
Okay, no, that makes sense.
Too much emotion involved with, like, there's another thing about trap rap. Like, there's not a lot of emotion involved with it.
Right.
Like, you ain't got a lot of emotional songs from Jeezy. You see what I'm saying? Like, you get the, you're going to get what I give you as far as when I'm talking with this drug shit. I can probably name on one hand the emotional songs from Jeezy, and probably the biggest one to stand out is Don't Do It.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's probably, that's what you're going to get from a trap rapper.
That's as he grew as an artist, too.
Exactly. That was a recession. Like, it was
right.
Like a lot of songs.
But Kevin Gates, who was still locked up, he didn't get out when people thought he was going to get out. He ended up having some type of some shit, some complicated. I don't know, man. That
he got another case got pulled
in
up.
Chicago or some shit.
They flagged him on another case before his get out date.
Woo.
He had to get he had to go turn himself in.
And get transferred.
Nah, he got out and then he had to go turn himself in. I thought they was waiting on him at the gate. But it come to find out, he got out and had to go turn himself in somewhere else.
That's that bullshit. But he did, his camp, him, released a joint called What If to hold people over. I thought it'd be interesting to see what Gates sound like in 2017 with his first joint of the year. So check it out, man. It's called What If.
Scars on my heart come from falling in love. From my knees every night, placing calls up above. Seem like God won't pick up. If heaven won't show me a way, guide me when I grip the whip. It's in the city we living in, is killed. Are you getting kicked? I was taught to keep it real. Misguided in the fit. Forgive me, I done grip the stick. She the devil, she was bad. Long weed, poo-poo eggs. Rounding up, make pretty faces when I'm hitting.
Just a thong like one of us. What you think, Gates? What If?
Oh, the song was cool. I'm a firm believer that Kevin Gates should join up with the Step Brothers. Like, he need they bars, they need his hooks.
That'll be
like
hard.
That'll be an awesome combination. But yeah, I mean, that's all I got to say about that. The song cool. I want Kevin Gates to be the third Step Brother.
I like the song
with Carlito and Don Tripp.
I like the song a lot, actually. I like that he sampled the joint from 95, 96.
But if God was...
Tough. That's banging. I like that. I see you, Gates.
That's your type of music.
Absolutely.
You ride around listening to that.
I do.
Yes.
And that shit is banging. Windows down.
Hair blowing.
All the beard blowing in the wind.
Beard blowing in the wind.
Absolutely. All right, so we back, man. Look.
It's the On Deck TV podcast, man. I am Spike Lou.
Holla at your man, Animal Brown, and it's time for Did You See?
Did you see what?
Did you see?
Did I see?
Complex's new daily hip-hop debate show.
What's the name of it?
It is called Everyday Struggle. It is with DJ Academics and Joe Budden.
And Joe Budden, yeah, I get that.
Did you watch it?
I did. I've watched it every day since it has came out this week.
So you're a fan.
I am.
What?
Well, go ahead.
Now, I was going to want to know what your thoughts was on the show.
I am a fan because I feel like that this definitely is a good look for hip-hop. And selfish plug here, we've been doing this for 4 years, so it opens doors for us, and it not being looked at as something new and niche. But I think that I'm not sure how long them two can last together. I feel like Joe Budden's is way better than DJ Academics.
That's because you're a fan of Joe Budden, though.
I'm not really a Joe.
No, you are.
Media-wise.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, I ain't a big Joe Budden's music fan. He does his media shit well, though. I acknowledge that.
It's okay.
I'm acknowledging that. I'm a fan of a lot of media, like Mike Greenberg, Dan Patrick. I'm fans of these people, Combat Jack.
For sure.
And I say that to say, like, I think that he does this very well. They're going to have to roll somebody in there that just challenges him more. I feel like the dudes on the podcast would have a better rapport. Maul and Rory, like, they could have just translated who he was debating with there to this. Academics, to me, just don't add nothing to the show.
Academics is supposed to be the fan perspective, who is very knowledgeable of what's going on in the game.
He's not.
The show is actually pretty cool. Now,
I like the mediator, too.
A hip-hop debate show is it's a great idea complex. Who would have thought of that? But
was that a slight?
Just a little bit. I do like the show. No hating at all. I fucks with it. I watched it. Joe Budden gets a little too loud and a little too overpowering at times.
That's hip-hop, though.
Yeah, but this is debate show. It's media. You got to make it watchable. I think DJ Academics will have a decent point, and Joe Budden will just start talking really loud over him. And just because you're talking loud doesn't mean that you're making sense. And that doesn't mean that the other person didn't have something valid to say, too. I would have loved to have heard it. And I don't want this to be the Joe Budden show, which is what his podcast is. I want to hear from both parties because dude actually does have something to say. That's not to say he's not corny or lame or whatever you want to label him, but he still does know have something to say, and he knows his rap shit. So as long as you know your rap shit, I ain't tripping.
He do. And I like the mediator chick, too. She cool.
Yeah, you done said that twice. You must be a fan, for real.
You
follow her now?
I don't even know what her ad is, but if she know me, she can get at me, though.
Looking for that macaroni and cheese. All right.
That's funny as hell.
New music dropping this week. We've got Kendrick Lamar and his Microsoft Office 2000 cover. Damn.
Niggas beware, because the fucking train is leaving the station, and it will be here on Friday.
It's like his little nephew made it.
Get rolled over. It don't matter. It don't matter who made the cover. It don't matter what the name of it is. It don't matter what his braids look like.
Man.
Cornrow Kenny is coming to kick niggas' asses on Friday.
I'm very interested to hear what it sounds like, because obviously the cover with the no jewels, no team.
We got bars, nigga.
No,
all we need is bars.
No entourage. Bars. It's all just stripped bars. Down
just bars.
With the plain Time Magazine font bars. At the top. I'm very interested to hear what this sounds like.
We got bars for niggas. We got two classic albums under our belt, and we got bars for nigga. TDE.
Oh, my God.
Let's go.
Last week, T Grizzly dropped.
That was banging too.
His album, My Moment. We played his song, and then he dropped. Thanks for listening, T Grizzly.
Yep, got him in there.
Granted our wishes. I wanted to hear what a full project would sound like. I wanted to hear what songs with hooks sounded like, and I got that. Good looking, and I'm fucking with the project,
shout out
too.
To Dick TV Podcast for the T Grizzly effort. You know, we make things happen over here, man. You
absolutely. Know? Joy Badass also dropped. It was called All American Badass. Have you,
you
got a chance to hear
classic.
It? No, I, what?
You didn't say that was a classic?
No. Oh, okay. But I fucks with it, though.
Oh, you talking about Freddie Gibbs.
Freddie Gibbs shit is fucking fire.
I like the song Homecoming.
Homesick is the name of the song.
Not to gloss over the Joey Badass, though. I've heard good things. I've heard good things about Joey. I've heard good things, but I haven't checked him out yet.
If this exact album was a Kendrick Lamar or a J. Cole project, niggas
would be
on his.
To it.
No, niggas would be swinging from his nuts left to right.
No, people would be listening to it.
People are listening to it now.
Joey Badass, no one's listening to it.
It's fire. Mm-hmm. It's politically charged, but it's fire.
What do you mean? Well, I don't even want to get into it. It's Joey Badass. I'll check it out.
What you got on deck for the weekend?
Slow Motion Billy Ocean this weekend, man. I'm trying to get out back on the golf range since the weather's pretty, man. Get my golf game up. The Masters just came on, so I want to improve upon my skill. And then the following weekend, we got the Charlamagne Book Tour coming to the A. I definitely got to hit that.
Yeah, shout out Charlamagne. That's dope. This weekend. I ain't doing really shit this weekend. Next week, though, I will be at that Big Sean show.
Where is it at?
Tabernacle. I decided tour. I'm fucking with that. Came up, bought some tickets. Good looking.
Hopefully by then you won't be the only person in there, because that K-Dot will be have dropped and niggas gonna stop fucking with him.
Yeah, okay.
Hopefully that's not gonna
y'all
be
are, I can't wait to see the looks
do
on people's faces. I can't wait.
Are you going? Do they have a refund policy?
To see the Jordan crying meme faces on y'all niggas if this shit is ass. This will be the biggest disappointment in rap history.
Why would you think this would be ass?
Because the last
one
was
Kendrick
ass.
Kendrick Lamar, dude. It's the best rapper on the face of the earth right now.
That's going to be wild if it sucks.
How would it suck? It would suck if U2's on the whole thing singing and shit, yeah. That would suck. Shout out U2 and Rihanna.
Only two features on them.
Nah, it's supposed to be another one. They dropped,
oh, really?
They dropped something today. I seen on, I didn't get to check it on XXL Mag, where they said it's going to be a third feature.
Okay.
You got to figure that out.
But other than that, other than the Big Sean show, man, I'm chilling like a villain. Playoffs down here in the A. Do I want to go? I don't know.
We got to go check the Wizards out. I got to go see my boy John Wall. I heard John Wall was about that life.
Yeah. Y'all let me know
confirm
how that go.
Or deny. You ain't fucking with John Wall?
I might fuck with him. If y'all gas me enough, I'll
I
go.
I hate that, man.
I just saw them niggas in Detroit. That's who Pistons play.
Yeah.
Anyway, man, we appreciate y'all fucking with us. Be on the lookout. The website will be dropping new soon. Pretty soon, yep. All new everything.
Yep, shirts available for you on the website once we get that cracking. So that's where you get those at. We appreciate you listening to the On Deck TV podcast. Go rate, subscribe, like, listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Beyond Pod, wherever you listen to your podcast apps at. Let us know how you feel about us at On Deck TV. Thank you.
Hollow.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.